Unconventional, unmatched, unafraid.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Frankly Speaking Radio.
Resistance is futile.
Silver has long been used throughout history as a way to disinfect and prolong the freshness of water and food, as well as utilized for its beneficial healing and anti-disease properties. From the Greeks, the Romans, and the Phoenicians to the Middle Ages, from the first settlers in America to its preventative
using corruption over there. Eventually, he came under personal attack and on several occasions almost died, and so he came to the United States, and that's where he's living at the present time, he'll be... Perhaps someday, if Israel is ever a safe place, you go back again. But right now, it's to our advantage that he's here, because he has a tremendous amount of understanding of what's really going on behind the scenes in Israel, and recognizes the Israeli government is controlled very much in similar ways to the way our own government is controlled, and it is certainly not working in the direction of preserving Israel as a sovereign state. So with that as a background, Barry Shavish.
Hi, good evening.
Well, we're going to talk about what's going on down there. Have you got it figured out what's going down there, in Gaza, and, of course, breaking over into Egypt and tearing down the barriers there? And what's this really all about?
Now, this is a complicated show. I actually made notes 1, 2, 3 so I don't confuse everybody who really doesn't know Israel. So we'll start with 1, and 1 is Hamas had a big victory. They did something very intelligent in blowing up what is called the Philadelphia Corridor Roads. It's a steel wall that Israel put up instead of having troops, okay? This is when Israel pulls out of Gush Katif or Gaza. They put up a wall where they used to have troops, and it was a very vital corridor because it separated Gaza from Egypt. And the Hamas blew it up. That's what they did about 5-6 days ago. They put 3 holes in it, and a tremendous number of Gazans walked into Egypt. And first of all, there's something people don't understand. 500,000 is the figure now. About 1/3 of Gaza walked into Egypt to buy things, supposedly. I mean, some people just went to buy things. Now, how do you get 1/3 of Gaza into Egypt? It turns out that Hamas gave everyone $300. This is not being reported properly, but that's what they did. If you go to Egypt to buy stuff, you get $300 from Hamas. Now, it turns out that a lot of the money was counterfeit.
I'm sure the Egyptians are going to love that.
Well, they caught on after about 3 days that they were given Confederate money. But for the first few days, they took the money, and there was a real black market going on there. You buy stuff at a store in Rafah, and then you would go on a street corner and sell for twice as much when the store ran out of goods. It was a mess, and in the end, Hamas, it looks like, pulled a fast one over on the Egyptian merchants, if no one else, by handing out paper money that was worthless. So that's how you get 500,000 out of a million and a half to cross into Egypt. You give them $300.
We'll be right back. Hold that thought, Barry. We'll be back here in just a moment.
Now you can bring Berkey purification power anywhere with the Sport Berkey filtration bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon-222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get 2 for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
This is George Whitehurst Berry of the Genesis Communications Network. Have you ever wanted the truth about the economy? Crash, Are You Ready? Is the fastest growing program on GCN. Our one-hour program airs weekdays, Monday through Friday, from 10 to 11 a.m. Central Time, just after the Power Hour and just before Alex Jones. To listen to rebroadcast 24 and 7, visit our website at www.hearitonline.com and click on the appropriate link. Our unparalleled guest lineup has included patriots such as Congressman Ron Paul, Scott Ritter, former UN Chief Weapons Inspector Murray Neal, inventor of the revolutionary dragonskin body armor, and Philip Torme, USS Liberty survivor. We also focus on alternative health and survival topics. Go to www.hearitonline.com. That's HEARITONLINE.com.
Since the year 2000, earthquakes, heat waves, droughts, tsunamis, floods, fires, and hurricanes have killed over 1 million people worldwide and forced tens of millions to go without food and water. After Katrina, the media was eager to show victims in New Orleans begging for food. If a disaster strikes you and your loved ones and you have no stored food, you'll be begging as well. Now our economy is slipping into an abyss that even Donald Trump says will make the Great Depression look like a Sunday picnic. The U.S. dollar is worth less today than it was even last week. Before food prices skyrocket, trucks stop running and stores close their doors, Survival Enterprises can help you prepare. They're master distributors of Mountain House freeze-dried food with up to a 50-year shelf life. Survival Enterprises has real butter, cheese, and bread, real beef, chicken, and turkey, all canned for long-term storage. For their website and more info, call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. And remember, if you wait until you need us, it's too late. Call now.
Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is Barry Shamish, and Barry was just saying that, of course, the way that Hamas was able to get all the Gazans, all the Palestinians, to go down to Egypt was given $300 to spend. Unfortunately, a lot of it was counterfeit money. This is the sort of thing you're never going to hear here in the United States, but you go right ahead, Barry.
Well, we have to look at the way it's being interpreted, and it's... It depends on your point of view of the conflict, what you think is happening. Very common is that Egypt did it on purpose, with working hand in hand with Iran, and there's some evidence for that. Mubarak spoke with Ahmadinejad, or whatever his name is, the head of Iran, about 2 hours before the explosions. And people view that as an amazing coincidence, but right after the explosions, what do you know, Mubarak meets for the first time officially in Cairo with an official Iranian delegation, and they leave and they declare the warming of ties between Egypt and Iran. So a lot of people have come to the conclusion that Egypt was a part and parcel of the explosion, and well, it's an excuse to bring lots more troops in the Sinai, which is against the Camp David Accords of 19, God knows what was it, 79. They're not supposed to bring troops in, and now they can bring troops in, and Israel is asking them to bring in troops because they don't want to be responsible for this mess. That's one point of view, that it's just a trick to bring Egypt into the war against Israel. And I think it's a very legitimate suspicion to view it that way. The other point of view the world is run by the CFR, and the CFR had a very different take on this avalanche of Gazans into the Sinai Peninsula. They viewed it as a perfect opportunity to bring Mahmoud Abbas and his troops to take over the Erez Junction, which separates Israel from the Gaza Strip, and be the official guards of the Erez Junction and make sure that Gazans don't swoop into Israel, which, by the way, Hamas is threatening. They're saying the next swoop won't be into the Sinai. They'll take 500,000 people and overrun Israel, which is a nightmare, by the way, for Israeli security. If they go and do that, you'll have a massacre. Or Israel will be overrun. And the solution the peacemakers have is that Fatah take over the security of Israel's Hamas borderline is now going to be controlled by Fatah. And that, by the way, is being pushed all over the place, by the way. Condoleezza Rice, that dreadful witch of a Secretary of State, is pushing this. And it should be noted there was a Bilderberger meeting at Davos, Switzerland, last week, where who spoke on behalf of Israel? How unpredictable. Shimon Peres, Ehud Barak, Defense Minister, and Foreign Minister Tzipi Livni all spoke about peace at Davos. And they like the idea of Fatah, their peace partner, taking over from Israel at Erez Junction and being the peacemakers between Israel and Hamas. So that's theory number two. This was all done to spread the influence of the Bush peace plan. It's hardly the Bush peace plan, but he's the one who happens to be president of the states, and he's the one who happens to be pushing this the most openly. So there's theory number two. Okay, theory number one was Iran and an expanded war against Israel. Theory number two is it was the peacemakers and the spread of the influence of Fatah. Theory number three is from the Israeli far right, that it's a wonderful thing. We're getting the Arabs out of Gaza, and let's make the Sinai a new Palestinian state. Now, this supposedly new idea has been pushed by the chief rabbi, Metzger, of Israel, that we help construct a new Palestinian state in Sinai. This new theory has been my theory for about 10 years, let's get Egypt involved and let's spread out Gaza and get rid of the claustrophobia. This is not a new theory. In my world, it's a very old, old theory. But those are the 1, 2, 3 theories. One, Iran and Egypt are now allies in the next war against Israel. A real possibility, by the way. Number two, that this is a unique move and an opportunity to spread the peace process. That comes from Israel's leadership and Condoleezza Rice. And theory three from Israel's right wing is great idea. Let's make a Palestinian state in Sinai. Now, those are what you have to work with. And ultimately, what I think is I think Hamas may have done it all by themselves without any help from Egypt. And they win in this global game of chess. They just checkmated everybody in sight. With the threat again of 500,000 instead of moving to Sinai, all gathering to move into Israel, which the peacemakers will have Fatah preventing. There, I just summarized what people think. Now shall we go to the facts on the ground?
All right, fine. What are the facts on the ground?
Number one, Hamas has now got a port. They didn't have a port, a deep water port. They've now got the port of Rafah, which in theory Israel can't embargo or bomb ships going in there because it's Egypt. The guards of the Rafah port and harbor are now Hamas. And that is very bad for Israel. That is incredibly bad for Israel. The amount of heavy equipment that can come in by a deep water port is a lot better than the little pipe bombs they've been getting through tunnels.
And you're already talking about, of course, then heavy equipment, heavy military equipment that will be used for the Palestinian war, the Hamas's war against Israel.
Oh, big artillery that you can't get through a tunnel, real missiles that are launched on trucks that you have to use a boat for. Hamas has got a port now where they can, where they, without impediment from the Egyptians, there's no Egyptian troops trying to take over the port again, they can really create an army now. And it's a very big worry for Israel. Now, the third worry, and one which I will actually give some personal descriptions, because I actually know a little about this, is that right now Egypt has closed two of the three gaps in this steel wall, but they're keeping one open, and Palestinians can go into Egypt or Sinai unimpeded. Now, this is an extreme worry. And look, most of them are just going to go to get fresh air and get out of the repression of Hamas, and they're going to come back with cigarettes and gasoline. But a bunch of them aren't going to do that. With an unimpeded route into Egypt, they will meet their fellow militants from Egypt in the Sinai Peninsula, and they have an opportunity now that Israel is has to worry about very, very much. Now, how much time do we have before I enter this story?
Well, you've got about 2 minutes now before we have to go to 2.5 minutes before we go to the next break.
All right. I'll just tell you what the worry is, and then I'll tell you why it's a worry from a personal point of view. There is a road between Egypt and Israel. Two roads, actually. There's no fence there. And this is something I'm going to talk about shortly, because twice in my reserve duty for the Israel Defense Forces, I guarded this road. Now, this road, I'm going to estimate that it's about 120 miles long. So it's the biggest border Israel has with anyone. The Lebanese border is, what, 25 miles? It's nothing. The Jordanian border, which again has a river between us, and Jordanian troops who are up until now behaving themselves, is, from the Dead Sea, if you include the Dead Sea as a border, which is silly, let's say it's the same thing. Let's say it's 125 miles. Maybe even 150 miles with Jordan. And it's, well, we've got the Jordanian army behaving themselves, and you've got the Israeli army on the other side, and it hasn't been a terrible problem. Now you've got a road of about 125 miles, which the Hamas can enter all of southern Israel. This is a terrible security problem. It isn't just a porous border. This is now an open border. Now, before I go on with a little description, just keep in mind the Israeli government this week banned two main southern roads out of three leading to Eilat, and actually closed all the tourist centers, all the nature reserves and so forth, because of a fear that this the Egyptian Sinai could be used for terrorist attacks, and they're not ready for it.
Well, I think for our listeners, though, they have to know that most of the Sinai is just a desert. I never saw so much sand.
That's what makes it porous.
All right, fine. We're going to be back in just a moment with Barry Shamish, but these are very serious activities going on.
The Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies, because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case it's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Do you need more than just the constant news of impending tyranny? Yes, this is Elizabeth Border back with The Divided Kingdom, the hour that analyzes spiritual and cultural issues, too. Lou Blanchard and I are delighted, thanks in large part to past listeners' lobbying efforts. Now, to be on the Great Genesis Communications Network Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Central, formidable Alex Jones says, this is the network often imitated, but never duplicated. Lou and I made the conscious decision to move to GCN because of its classy lineup and leadership. We invite you to hear our program, one we pray will strengthen and bless you. Indeed, trouble is part of the story, but the fellowship of faith surpasses it. Tune in at 6 p.m. Central with The Divided Kingdom.
Dan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is Perry Shamish, and we're talking about the significance of what's happening there and in the Sinai, what's happening in Gush Katif there in Gaza, and of course what the implications are as far as the increasing violence between Hamas, between the terrorists. Of course, both Fatah and Hamas are terrorist organizations. It's only the one's a little worse terrorist than the other. But, of course, there is going to be a conflict. It's only a matter of time. Another showdown between the Palestinians and the Israelis. And, of course, this time I fear that there's going to be a lot of the other surrounding Arab countries involved. So pick up the story there.
All right, now let's talk about the road. Now, I did two reserve services of a month each guarding this road. Now, there were three APC stations, or army bases, cold ones, let me tell you, freezing cold. That is a very cold place at night. And we slept in tents. Now, what it amounts to was about 120 miles. We did about 40 miles. We took 6 hour shifts and then slept for 6 hours. And I'm telling you, it was below freezing. This was in March, I think I did it. And it was a very unpleasant army duty. Somebody would have to actually be by the big machine gun. They were called mags or M3s. The driver would have to be alert. And everyone else could pretty well sleep, but it was too cold. And we would go up and down the road looking for tracks. We had one Bedouin for each ATC, and his eyes were always on the road. And if he saw tracks in the gravel, we would stop, report them. And, well, they would, we did catch smugglers. They had about a two-hour head start before we saw their tracks. They would, of course, enter Israel as soon as the APC passed to get the most time possible to get moving. And there was no fence. And on the other side were the Egyptians. There were two roads, theirs and ours. And our Bedouins would shout at the Egyptians. And we didn't understand Arabic, and they would just tell us, they said some very, very nasty things about Israel. And that's how they would amuse themselves, talking in Arabic to the Egyptians, who were on the other side of us with loaded guns. I suppose if one of them got mad, we could be in trouble. They would die afterwards. I mean, nonetheless, we could have a lot of trouble. Now, try and understand that there is no border fence. Between the road, there were border posts where you would go on top of this tower to guard your territory. And this is what shocked me when I did that as well. You go to the tower and you look across the way, and there's the Egyptian tower. You can wave at him while he's waving at you. This is how close the peace is, that they're over there about 20 yards away. You could throw a stone at their tower, and they could, well, they could do a lot more than throw a stone, but this is how close it was. Now, back to the road. We would go up and down, and the Bedouin would explain that these Egyptians were very bitter soldiers. This was the worst duty you could get in the army. The Egyptians would give them a sack of hummus and leave them alone for a month. That's it. So they would have their little tent, and they would have tea and hummus, and this is what they would do. They would freeze along with us, of course, but they didn't eat very well, and they were very unhappy about having to guard this road. And in short, they could be very easily bribed or overcome. Either one of them, these soldiers do not present that big of an impediment to trained Hamas terrorists. These are poor little kids thrown into a tent with a bag of hummus for a month. These are not troops. These are individual soldiers who for a few bucks would let you pass by them and say they didn't notice. Now, that's what's guarding the Egyptian side of the border. Now, the Israeli side is guarded not very heavily by three constantly moving armored personnel carriers with one Bedouin in each carrier looking for tracks. Now, I'm going to actually change the story with something unusual and funny. Are you ready for this?
No, because we're going to have to go to a break, but when we get back, we'll have the unusual and funny story from Barry. But I'll tell you, it must be a lot warmer in that armored personnel carrier than a little tent out there in that most barren area you've ever seen. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at BerkeyWater.com.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened at the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. 1126, or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
The Healing Formula is an all-natural wound care formula developed mainly for the treatment of pressure sores, also called bed sores. The Healing Formula was developed by a home caregiver with over 30 years' experience. We use the finest ingredients available, including organic aloe vera gel and 35% hydrogen peroxide. The Healing Formula works from the inside out, oxygenating the affected area, stopping the spread of infection, decreasing pain, while promoting healing. The Healing Formula has also proved effective in other areas, such as abrasions, cuts, burns, and rashes. There are over 6,000 peer-published documents on the ingredients in this healing bed sore formula, with not one adverse reaction reported when used properly. The Healing Formula comes with an unconditional money-back guarantee if you are not completely satisfied. We offer a free sample to all nursing homes, home caregivers, nurses, and anyone with a non-healing wound. Please visit our website at healingformula.com or call 800-357-2944. That's 800-357-2944.
Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is Barry Shamish. We're talking about what's going on down there in Gaza. We're talking about the Sinai. Let me tell you, you never saw so much sand in all your life, although there are a few areas along there, you know, where there is certainly a lush climate. But that was certainly in Gaza that was developed by the Jews, but with irrigation and water. And they could do the same thing to the rest of the Sinai if they really wanted. And they could arrange to get some water there. But right now, before we go on, Barry, before you tell the story, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get hold of your DVDs, how they can get hold of your books, and how they can get to your website.
Well, the DVDs are of interest, and I'll send you a copy, by the way. I have an MP3 with 124 of my radio shows from the year 2007, including many of ours. And I might add that you're a normal host who lets me go on and soaks in the information. You should hear the ones who have no clue what's going on. And it's all on the MP3, the good ones, the bad ones, the MP3 ones. A lot of people are just plain stunned. But there's really 4 or 5 days of listening. So I'm going to give you a phone number if you want the MP3. It's 904-501-7605. That's 904-501-7605. My website officially is the Barry Shamish website, but just go to BarryShamish.com, and I'm up to something like 114,000 in the last year just on the main page, so something is going right. To get my books, It's a lot easier. People are afraid of the internet, but I've done this. It's not bad. You go to lulu.com, L-U-L-U.com. It says search in the right-hand corner. You spell my name, C-H-A-M-I-S-H. That's Chamish, and it takes you to my books. Bye Bye Gaz is the most up-to-date. What we're talking about now, though, yeah, Bye Bye Gaz is the most complete about the Gaza Strip. And now let's go back to the Sinai Road.
All right, let's go back to the Sinai Road.
Now, I did a story. What I did in Israel to stay alive, I didn't write conspiracy as a living. I lived there for over 30 years. Most of the time, I was a very conventional magazine writer. And, well, I mean, for big magazines, I was the Israeli correspondent for the Hollywood Reporter. And, by the way, I met a lot of movie stars. Maybe someday if you want to hear about meeting Frank Sinatra or Jack Lemmon or something, I can do that. This is also Billboard magazine, which was music, and I got lots of stories from that. And that's what I did. I did conventional writing for about 30 or 40 newspapers. Trade magazines, it's called, trade writing. And one of them, I did a story about someone I knew, and he knew me, and we were friends. He was a professor of animal biology, whatever it's called, at Tel Aviv University. And I went to his office, and his office was just filled with stuffed animals and stuffed parts. And then we spent a day hunting monitor lizards. That's what he was doing, his PhD thesis. He went with his scary and vicious pointer dog, and they found monitor lizards, big, vicious lizards that were being wiped out by urban development, and he would put collars around them, and then he would take out a radio, and he would find out where they went. And I wrote a story about saving Israel's monitors. Then we went back to his office, and he showed me files and stuff. But then, before I ever served on this road in the Sinai, he told me a funny story that he did when he was on the AP, the APCs, APVs, I'm sorry. Now, I told you before, we have a Bedouin tracker, and he's looking at the road, and if he sees footprints, any kind of prints, he stops the APV, we get out, and if it's suspicious, he informs the army, and they chase down whoever intruded. It's usually smugglers. But you get terrorism here and there as well. The man's name was Michael. I think his last name was Geller. It's been a few years. But anyways, he said that he was on this terribly boring reserve duty, and he wanted to make it a little amusing. Now, you get to know your Bedouin, by the way. They're nice people. We stop in the desert. They find things, plants that you can turn into tea, and they make you tea. You get to know them, and he said that his Bedouin was a very good tracker, and he was never wrong. So what he did is he took, he's got these footprints in his office, and he had a lion. He had like an old elephant umbrella stand, the same version. He had a lion's paw with a bit of shin for whatever he used it for in his research. He had all kinds of them. So what he did was he went with his APV, and he went off about 20 yards, and he put this paw on a broom, and, well, he made tracks. He made about, 30, 40 yards of lion tracks in the sand. He pressed it into the sand, and then we, covered up the paw under his jacket, however he did it. You know, we changed drivers. We didn't always have the same Bedouin. And the next time out, they're driving with this AP, their APV, when their Bedouin tracker sees these tracks, and he stops he stops the ATV and he gets out and he examines them and he walks the whole length of these tracks. There's no more boot tracks because that's the road, and other APVs have gone off the road and covered up the tracks. All that's left are the lion tracks. And he comes back after examining them for like 10 minutes and looking at them really close, got down on his knees, and he says to the crew, he says, "That's a cat, but a really big cat."
Well, I'll tell you, you have to give him an A for being right.
Oh, he got the track right, but he'd never seen a track that big before. He says that. He said in Hebrew, "Ik wat gedolot mo." Those are really big cat tracks. That's the funny story on the Egyptian border. How to fool your Bedouin tracker with something that has never been seen before on the road. They kept him amused. They talked about that for a little while, and he became sort of a hero amongst the soldiers. But that's about the only funny story I can think of along that road. Now, we're getting back to the facts that road is all but unguarded against a terrorist incursion right now. And that means the following cities, which never had a problem with terrorism, or not a serious problem, are now under threat, and the army has warned them. And they include Be'er Sheva, they include Dimona, they include Eilat. If you've got yourself some rockets, and not very good ones, the Dimona nuclear facility is, if you sneak over the Sinai border, you can actually bomb the place. The security, Israel's security, since Hamas has gone into the Sinai, has become immensely more complicated. There's a new front and a very long front that used to be the peaceful border with Egypt, which now is really a war border. And that's the significance of what happened. More than anything else, even more than the deepwater port, Hamas has got itself one heck of a border. Before the next war or during the next war, they can do a lot of damage to Israel now.
Well, I think that this really is a tragic situation. Of course, it never would have happened had Sharon not betrayed the settlers there in the Gaza and turned that area over to the Palestinians. Why would any rational person have done that? And, of course, the answer was, this was not a rational thing to do, because, of course, once the Palestinians were there, they could begin to use that as the base for lobbing their rockets and their mortars on into Israel, and they had to know this would happen. It's simply another example of the Israeli people being betrayed by their leaders, just exactly as America today is being betrayed by our leaders, and our men are being sent to the Middle East to fight a no-win war. So Israel is in the same situation. So go right ahead, Barry.
Well, now we'll go to Sharon. Now, another thing that happened this week, and I'll probably have to extend it over a show because it's really kind of complicated. A major party pulled out of the Olmert coalition. The party was led by Avigdor Lieberman. It was the second largest party in the Knesset. Now, what happens, there is one other large party, and it's called Shas, and it's threatening to pull out, but it never will, and I'll go into that later. Let's talk about Lieberman first. If Shas pulls out, Olmert has to call elections. There'll be a vote of no confidence, which he'll lose. Now, this is complicated stuff. Not even for Israeli listeners, it's a bit complicated, but if you don't know the subject, it's very complicated. What happened this week is that Lieberman pulled out, and then Haaretz, very radical left-wing party, suddenly exposes the Jericho casino deal, which I expose in my book, Labor Zionism and the Holocaust. For me, this is just old information. But nonetheless, Haaretz broke that Lieberman was being paid off and so was his daughter. And the police arrested his daughter, Lieberman's daughter, and put her under a grueling interrogation. This is what you get for leaving Olmert. The left decide to bring out the news that well, anyone who reads me would have known this stuff. Now, I'm going to do this slowly because there are a lot of names, and it will tell you how I got the information. And let's start with the fact that another thing happened. Henri Charon's son, one of two sons, went to jail 2 days ago for 7 months. He finally got put into jail. Now we'll go into why Charon, one of the reasons Charon gave up Gush Katif. The other reason, as he told many reporters, is that the American State Department didn't give him a choice. But let's stick with one thing at a time. One of the deals... Oh, I hear music.
No, we've got about 3.5-4 minutes.
We'll never do it. We'll have to save it for next week.
All right, well, that'll give us something to look forward to.
I'm just going
to
do it quickly then. There was a casino built in Jericho. The person who arranged the building was someone we all know and hate, is Yossi Ginasar. Too complicated, but ultimately he saw the murder of Wayne Owens. All the corruption came out through the Ginasar scandal, and he suddenly died of cancer about 4 months afterwards. But there was a casino built in Jericho by one Martin Schlaff of Vienna. Now, to get it built, he bribed everyone in sight, including Charon. Charon's lawyer and his natural aide, his top-ranking government aide, his name is Dov Weisglass. Now, I know this. They were all getting a cut of this casino. And it's a long story, and I'm going to cut to the chase. Later on, we'll go into how much corruption we're talking about. I was at a circumcision party. You have them in Israel. You have a Sunday circumcised, you have a party. And my table was made the special table where all the big shots were at the table. And in my case, it was member of Knesset Michal Kleiner, a very old friend of mine, and there was Moshe Feiglin, also someone I've known for a while, but Hillel Weiss, Professor Hillel Weiss, was there, and he broke it to me. I talked about the Ginasar scandal and the murder of Wayne Owens, and a member of Knesset Kleiner said Israel isn't ready to hear about this, and Feiglin said Israel isn't ready to hear about this, but Hillel Weiss says, I asked him, why doesn't the Likud break the Shimon Peres, Yossi Ginasar scandal and bring down labor for good? And Weiss says to me, don't you know Charon is in on it? Don't you know that his son met Martin Schlaff in Vienna and is getting a cut of it? Don't you understand that Dov Weisglass is getting a cut of it? Don't you understand why Dov Weisglass is now the official negotiator with the PLO, and why Sharon's son Omri is the official government liaison with the PLO? They're all getting a cut of this casino in Jericho. It's laundering money. And by the way, the amount of money they said it was laundering, Hillel Weiss said it was laundering, was in the neighborhood of $130 million a year. So you even get an itty-bitty little piece of that casino, you are wealthy for the rest of your life. Now, I didn't have the time this week to talk about how corrupt Charon was and the deals he was making with Yasser Arafat and, of course, needless to say, Peres and Ginasar. But his son and his chief aide, who was the official liaison to the PLO, were all getting big chunks of this laundered money through Martin Schlaff, the casino owner. His company was called Casinos International, and that is why Sharon was negotiating with the PLO. They were all in on this horrible mafia that was using a gambling casino in Jericho against the will of every Arab who did not want a casino in Jericho. They were fleecing Israelis, and they were all taking a cut of the money. One of the people who met Martin Schlaff in Vienna was Avigdor Lieberman. Now, Lieberman denies that he had anything to do with the casino. That's what he denies. And his daughter is saying the same thing. I was not getting a cut from Martin Schlaff. But isn't it interesting how after 4 or 5 years, when I reported the whole casino scandal, that the Israeli...
We're out of time. Out of time, Murray. Talk to you next week.
Now you can upgrade your existing gravity filter to remove chemicals such as triamethylenes, atrazine, benzene, chlorine, chloroform, and MTBE to below detectable limits. Black Berkey elements are so powerful, they remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and transform water, even raw stagnant pond water, into delicious crystal clear drinking water. Nitrates, nitrites, radon-222, unwanted heavy metals like lead, mercury, and aluminum are no problem. Foul tastes like chlorine and obnoxious sulfur odors are removed without removing the healthful and beneficial minerals that your body needs. Black Berkey elements flow 1.5 to 2 times faster than ordinary gravity elements, which means it takes much less time to filter your water. Supercharge your gravity filter today. Upgrade to Black Berkey purification elements.
Get a 2-pack, only $99, or a 4-pack, only $188. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Honey, I'll be right back.
Brittany, your husband looks so good tonight.
I just worry about his high blood pressure. He gets uptight so easily.
I know. My Gary has high blood pressure and high cholesterol. I always think about the what if.
Yeah.
Ladies, you need to get your husband's Cocoa Pure chocolate tea.
Chocolate tea?
That sounds delicious. The information is all over the news. Cocoa without the high fat and an extract from red wine are both shown to have heart benefits, including supporting healthy blood pressure and cholesterol levels.
See, I told you chocolate was good for us.
To try Cocoa Pure risk-free, call 1-800-457-9914. Cocoa Pure contains a red wine extract and pure cocoa, and is natural and healthy for anyone. Cocoa Pure is especially recommended for those with high blood pressure, high cholesterol, or a family history of heart disease. Call now for your delicious risk-free trial. Call 1-800-457-9914. That's 1-800-457-9914.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Barry. And, of course, what Barry's really saying is that the leadership of Israel is corrupt. But don't think for a minute the people who are in key positions in our government are not corrupt, and all you need to do is notice how Halliburton gets all these risk-free, or I should say bid-free contracts, $385 million contract to Halliburton to be able to be willing to just to stand by and ready to build concentration camps in America, a 4-year contract where they get paid every year. But Remember, that's Dick Cheney's old organization, and at least for the first few years, Dick Cheney was the vice president. He was getting something called deferred salary from Halliburton on a regular basis. Well, what's a deferred salary when you're the vice president of the United States? Well, some people might think it was a payoff, but then, of course, they've got suspicious minds. And who are you going to report this to? Well, you could always report it to the president. Maybe, and you understand, of course, the president is simply a figurehead for Dick Cheney, who comes from the CFR, comes from the Trilateral Commission, and, of course, simply represents the power elite that rules our country. Now, if you don't understand the power elite, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's Brotherhood of Darkness, the book or the CD. And then, of course, you need to get my next talk. It would be called The Forbidden Secret, which takes you into the spiritual forces which are behind this. You need to get our three pamphlet set on the occult hierarchy to understand how they got us into the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. You need to get our three pamphlet set called Foreknowledge 911. It's only $9.95 for all three pamphlets. And then we have a great new pamphlet. It's called The True Story of 911. It has a lot more information in it, and that's only $3.95 plus shipping. We put these pamphlets together. Basically, they're compilations of my newsletters. We just modify them a little bit, take out some of the things that are not applicable to the pamphlet, and you'll find them fascinating, and I keep them by my side because it'll give you the references and where those references came from to understand what's really going on. And quite frankly, we haven't been told the truth about 911. And if you, of course, haven't got the book, The Terror Timeline by Paul Thompson, if you haven't got the 911 four-tape set or 911 update four-tape or four-CD set or the latest set, why did the buildings come down? Why did the buildings come down? You need to get that. Of course, we have a number of DVDs. Of course, we have the ripple effect and in plain sight. And suddenly, if you go to our web, pardon me, go to our website and pull down a list of videos, we have a number of excellent DVDs on what really happened that day. And believe me, we have never been told the truth. They needed an incident because, of course, they wanted to get us into the war in Afghanistan and the war in Iraq and bleed America dry. Divert our attention away as, of course, our boys goes overseas to fight for freedom and, of course, to be experimented on by the wicked people at the highest levels of our government who've been experimenting on our soldiers for decades. If you doubt that, you need to get the Rockefeller Committee report. That's the Rockefeller Committee report that tells us that they experimented on hundreds of thousands of our soldiers through the years without their knowledge or consent. But, of course, information is available at Radio Liberty. Going into the background of what's really going on, if I could suggest, why did the buildings come down, one of our latest tape sets. And then, of course, we've got a great new tape set on the Bilderbergers, tape or four CD set, a great new set on weather modification, a great new tape set on spy chips, and, of course, the RFID chips that they were putting into animals and they want to put into people and into everything you have. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, we're moving towards a surveillance society because the people in charge have a different worldview because they worship a different God and they want a dictatorship in America and they're using America's financial and military power to establish authoritarian societies throughout the world. And believe me, there are going to be terrible consequences. They intend to kill off a large part of the world's population. You need to see my talk on Nundare College genocide and planned population reduction.
Introducing the most efficient gravity filter available. You know, if you were to throw 100 ball bearings at a magnet, most would bounce off. But if you placed them on the magnet, all would stick. The same principle applies in water filtration. Most filtration systems force water through the filter at 60 to 90 PSI, causing water molecules to race through the filter in less than a second. The Berkey Light is different. Water molecules take 5 to 10 minutes to pass through the torturous path of the self-sterilizing filters. This allows the proprietary
proprietary media formulation to remove and reduce pathogenic bacteria, cysts, chemicals, herbicides, pesticides, organic solvents, foul tastes, odors, heavy metals, and nitrates. It is so powerful, it purifies raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds.
Get the Advanced Berkeleyite Purifier for only $279 by calling New Millennium, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station. They're my views, and for this next hour, the views of Dr. Michael Kaufman, who, of course, has his Ph.D. in forestry and other environmental issues. And yet, of course, he's one of the our favorite guests because he's able to articulate so well what's going on. This hour, we'd talk about global warming. Now, certainly every aspect of the media will tell you global warming is a reality, and yet we've had the coldest spell here in the state of California, I can remember. In fact, up in Canada, they have Canada is cold, but they're colder than ever. They've got a wind chill factor down around 50 below zero, and people are not prepared for this sort of thing. They're prepared for a winter, but not a winter like that, But, of course, everybody knows there's global warming. And are you going to believe what you read in the newspaper? Are you going to believe your lying eyes and your fingers and toes that tell you that it's freezing cold? The entire media is controlled. And when you understand that, things begin to make sense. You have to understand that all of the major media outlets are pushing Al Gore's idea that we have global warming, and yet, of course, it's freezing cold all across America. And really all across the world, certainly in the Northern Hemisphere. So, certainly, Dr. Kaufman has a wonderful, wonderful DVD on global warming, which we think is very important. He's done a great job with it. Michael, thank you so very much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Stan. Glad to be back with you.
So, why don't you just pick up the story on global warming so we can give people sort of an idea of how they're being lied to and deceived by almost the entire media in the United States.
It was this time last year, in fact, it was a little bit later, it was in March, that Albert Gore, former Vice President Albert Gore, gave testimony to the U.S. Senate and the U.S. House of Representatives. And in that, he proclaimed time and time and time again that we are experiencing the warmest weather in recorded history and that 9 out of the 10 hottest years occurred in the 1990s and 2000, and 2006 was the hottest year on record. And even December of 2006 was blistering compared to what it has been in the past. Then if you remember, right after that, in mid-January to February, it got extremely cold. We had some of the worst cold temperatures and snow and so forth in the Midwest in history. In fact, it was even reported that way on the news, which is really unusual because they don't like to report things that go against this concept of man-caused global warming. And now, during the summer, when we had our summer, the southern hemisphere had its coldest winter in over 50 years. And now it's shaping up that the northern hemisphere is going to have its coldest winter in the last 50 years. In fact, if you've been watching the news, China has ground down to a stop. It just can't move because of all this cold and the snow has just paralyzed the nation of China. And Europe isn't much better. In the United States, the Midwest right now, we're having some of the worst cold weather that they've ever seen in the last 50 years. I just watched it on the news a few minutes ago. So it's interesting how that when we have warmer than usual or normal temperatures, it's proclaimed in the headlines, the newspapers, and also in the evening news and so forth. When we're having record cold temperatures, nothing's ever said about global warming. They are reporting this, we're having record colds, but they don't link it to maybe this global warming thing is not really right after all.
Well, of course, one of the explanations is because of the global warming. That's why we have the global cooling. And if we don't do something about the global warming, it's going to get colder and colder. And you say this is foolish talk. But of course, if we're not dealing with rational people or rational ideas. We're really dealing with people who want to use the environmental situation to justify more control over our lives. And if they can get through the Kyoto Protocol, they will destroy the industrial capacity of remaining, the small industrial capacity we still have. This is an attack on America. We're going to be right back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Michael Kaufman, and certainly one of my favorite guests, who has a degree in science associated with environmentalism and forestry, and certainly he's certainly worked for many years. But in recent years, he's been working along with the rest of us to try to get the truth out about the move towards the New World Order. And, of course, we're talking this afternoon about global warming. And as I said in my introductory remarks to our other stations, why, Chris, all of the media will tell you we have a global warming. Certainly Al Gore will tell you we have a global warming. Al Gore gets the Nobel Prize because, of course, of his wonderful work to expose global warming, and yet we're having one of the coldest winters we've ever had. And it's, Chris, the question is, are the American people going to believe what they see, what they sense, what they see on television about the cold spells sweeping across our country and Europe and China? Or are they going to believe what the media tells us, and that is we have global warming, of the ice caps are going to melt? Of course, they don't tell you they're melting on Mars at the same time they're melting in here. And, of course, we have had a certain amount of melting of the ice caps, but it is related, of course, to increased temperature, having nothing to do with mankind, but to the cycles of the sun. The reason they call Greenland green is because Greenland, 1,000 years ago, was a green land.
Right.
Go right ahead.
Ironically, to interrupt you here, ironically, where they're finding the major melting, the pictures that you see on TV or in the newspaper and so forth is showing major melting of the Greenland ice cap, it's where the Vikings at one time were growing crops.
And they never mentioned that.
Yeah, they never mentioned that, and it's not unusual. We do have warming. Let's get that straight right up front here. There is a warming, and we've been warming for the last 200 years, since the 1800s, actually 300 years, and we're recovering what is known as a little ice age that occurred from about 1400 to about 1800, that it was much, much colder, about a degree and a half colder than it is right now, when the Thames River in London froze over every year, and they had ice parties where they had major breakouts of disease and so forth in Europe, causing massive death, where they had crop failures and starvation and so forth because it was so cold, and the storms during that cold period were ravaging Europe. It was an amazing time from the standpoint, I wouldn't want to have been there. I mean, it would have really been difficult living. But yet, at 1200 A.D., like you said, 1,000 years ago or 900 years ago, we had what's called the medieval optimal, and it was a degree and a half warmer than it is right now, much warmer than it is right now. That is when the Vikings colonized Greenland and growing crops where there's now either permafrost or ice. It's where the time of the cathedral...
Hold that thought, Michael. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Dr. Kaufman was just talking about how, you know, 900, 1,000 years ago, Greenland was green, and the Vikings, of course, were growing crops and grapevines, and of course, it was a very temperate climate, and then it cooled, and we go through these cycles, but of course, they're using that to justify an attack on the industrial capacity of America because, of course, this whole idea that mankind is creating the global warming, we've never had CO2 like we have now, and is the greenhouse gases produced by man, and because they never mentioned 97% of greenhouse gases are water, is simply that the clouds, but it doesn't really matter. What truth is, this is an attack on America, and America must be destroyed. So you pick up the story, Michael.
Well, you know, you're absolutely correct on the greenhouse gas. Most people have no idea because it is never, ever mentioned that a good 87%, and I'm talking about the potential greenhouse gas effect. I'm not talking about the actual. The actual is 96% for water vapor and so forth in the air. But it's not as effective as carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide is a more effective greenhouse gas than water vapor. But even when you add that factor in, 87%. of the potential greenhouse gases in the atmosphere are made up of water vapor and or clouds. And as a consequence, they have a huge role in this process. At the most, carbon dioxide, and I have a graph on this in the DVD that just will blow your mind, at the most, 27% of the potential greenhouse gases are carbon dioxide. That's a fair amount, don't get me wrong. However, man is adding less than 1% of that. So you're talking about the potential greenhouse effect from man is about 0.4 to 0.6%. I mean, it's infinitesimal compared to everything else as far as greenhouse gases are concerned. And yet this is being blamed for all of the warming that we've seen over the last 100 years. And ironically, most of the warming that occurred in the last 100 years occurred before 1945, before the post-war industrialization took over and really started to increase the amount of carbon dioxide in our atmosphere. So it's not really warmed up much more than we saw in the first half of the 20th century, and yet they're blaming this on man-caused when the warming occurred when they weren't having carbon dioxide increases. You know, it's just, there is nothing about this whole thing that makes any sense from a scientific standpoint. In fact, 2007 is going to go down as the year in which the majority of research that came out, and there was a lot of studies done that really decimated the idea that man is causing global warming. A number of things happened. For instance, theoretically, in all the greenhouse gas models, greenhouse models that project temperatures in the future, say that the greatest warming is going to be about 12,000 feet, and 10 to 12,000 feet up in the atmosphere. That's where the major carbon dioxide is. If that's where the major carbon dioxide, it only makes sense, that's where it's going to be the warmest. The warming at the Earth's surface will be much less than at 12, 14,000 feet. Now, what has happened? It hasn't happened. The warming is the greatest on the Earth's surface, not in the troposphere up at 12, 13,000 feet. And as a consequence, the actual evidence that we're seeing coming out does not support the man-caused greenhouse gas theory. It supports the idea that that Earth is warming from the ground up, not from the atmosphere down. And that leads then to the whole idea that there's something else involved, and that is the sun. Now, you will find many of the man-caused global warming theorists will stick their nose up in the air about the sun, because it's been shown, I think, fairly well. There is still some debate out there, but it's fairly well that the changes in the sun's intensity itself, just by itself, is not sufficient to cause the warming. And they will, when you ever mention the sun, they'll immediately drop this little fact on you and say that you don't know what you're talking about. Well, the fact is that they don't know what they're talking about, because it's not the intensity of the sun that's doing it, it's the solar activity, just as you described a minute ago. If you look at the balance of energy in the Earth, what you find is that there is a contest going on between what is called the solar winds. That's what happens when you have the solar explosions. The sun becomes extremely active and so forth. It emits tremendous amounts of solar winds all through what's called the heliosphere, the solar heliosphere. That's going out all the way through the planet. At the same time, exploding supernovae from thousands and hundreds of thousands of years, light years away, finally get to the Earth, and they're fairly constant. But the solar, and they cause, now what happens is that they have an effect on the formation of droplets, atmospheric droplets in the air, or clouds as we like to call them. The more cosmic radiation that gets to the Earth's surface, the more low clouds that form. Well, you know, if you've flown in an airplane, when you fly above low clouds, the clouds are a brilliant white. Why? Because the sun is reflecting off of them. Well, if the sun is reflecting off of them, that energy from the sun isn't going to get down to the Earth's surface, and you're going to have a cooling. So the more cosmic radiation we receive, the more clouds we have, and the cooler it gets. When we have the sun being very active with solar flares and all the rest, that pushes that cosmic radiation right back out of the heliosphere, out of the planetary orbits and so forth, or at least doesn't allow as many to come in. And as a consequence, not as many clouds form, lower clouds form. When there's not as many lower clouds form, there's more solar energy that actually reaches the Earth's surface, and the Earth's surface warms. Not so hard to understand. And they have calculated that this kind of relationship back over the last 100 years can account for all of the warming that we've experienced, all of it. And as you mentioned before, some of the planets like Mars and so forth are losing their ice caps. Why? Because they're getting warmer, too, because of the same phenomenon. It's nothing really radically unusual about it. We've known this for decades. It's nothing an unusual occurrence. And yet, you never hear about that. And, of course, there's not too many SUVs on Mars or the moons of Jupiter and so forth that are distinctly showing this kind of warming.
And, of course, you're not going to hear this discussed on 60 Minutes. They have an agenda. And what is that agenda? It is part of the attack on the United States. Because if they can convince us, of course, we have global warming, we're all going to die, our cities are going to be underwater, our coastal cities, why, we'll go along with the Kyoto Protocol, which calls for a dramatic cutback in our consumption, you know, of fossil fuels, and of course it would lead to the deindustrialization of America. This is really what it's all about, and the impoverishment of our people. And people suddenly begin to shake their heads and say, how did it happen? Well, it happened because they lied to us, because America is under attack from people within this country who have a different worldview and really do want to see this country deindustrialized. This is what it's really all about, but nobody's going to tell you that. Go ahead and
back. Absolutely. And that is the thing that really bothers me the most, is that not only do these proponents cherry-pick the data to support their viewpoint, but they actually deliberately leave out the important information that would help you make a correct decision, like this relationship between the solar activity and the cosmic radiation. They don't mention anything like that. They don't mention anything about water vapor. They don't mention anything about a number of things that would just literally blow their case right out of the water. And there really isn't. In fact, more and more scientists literally are leaving this premise that man is causing global warming by the droves. It is amazing how many in the last year or so major scientists, I mean, these are key world-renowned scientists that have recanted their belief that man is causing global warming and are now fighting it tooth and nail because of the blatant hypocrisy that's going on, as well as the distortion of the truth, so that the average American or the average world citizen, for that goes, has no idea. I mean, if all you ever hear, and this is true in America and around the world, if all you ever hear, man is causing global warming, a drumbeat every week that you hear something about it, then you're going to, over a period of years, have to finally accept the fact that man must be causing global warming, which really is not the case. More and more scientists say there isn't a shred of scientific hard evidence to say that man is causing global warming. There's some circumstantial evidence, yes, there is, there always will be, but the fact is, the true science that's coming out is really showing very conclusively that it's very unlikely that man is causing global warming. And that's what this DVD shows very clearly. I interview dozens of scientists and experts on this particular issue, and they show you very clearly, along with a lot of graphs and animated graphs and so forth, exactly what is happening, what has happened in the past, and what is likely to be happening in the future, as well as the reason why they're lying to us. Because, as you just said, they want to implement what they call global governance, which is a euphemism for world government. I was just listening to Walter Cronkite, the famous CBS broadcaster, news broadcaster, until he retired about, 12, 14 years ago, that's supposed to be the most trusted man in America, basically saying that we must have this global governance. He got an award from the World Federation of, what is it called? Federation of...
Oh, I know what you mean. Anyway, the world...
They want world government. And he got an award basically for supporting all this, and he said very clearly that we will not have any kind of stability in this world until we have this kind of global governance. He's either extremely naive, which I think he really is, or he is really advancing an agenda that will not create stability, but will actually cause a tremendous amount of agony on the part of the people of the world.
And, of course, you're really talking about the World Federalist Association that
they're getting the award. Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
People don't understand that this is the major driving force behind everything going on. It is this desire for a world government, a new world order, a new world religion, and a new world leader. And, of course, these people are not above lying. Of course they're going to lie. They were going to alter reports, and certainly as you watch the DVD, and this is an excellent DVD, which is why I wanted Dr. Kaufman to come on and talk about it again, and certainly it's well done. It's one of the best tools we have for the average individual to begin to understand how we're being lied to by all of the media. How could that be? Very simply, we have freedom of the press in America. The people who own the press, the people who own the press have the freedom to distort anything they want to. And who are you going to complain to? To Al Gore or Dick Cheney or the president because they're not telling us the truth? Well, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in just a moment here with Dr. Michael Kaufman as we explore the facade of global warming. Well, Michael, people talk about the polar bears. The polar bears are becoming extinct, and we see the pictures. You know, Al Gore showed us a picture of a poor polar bear on a little iceberg, and it's just a little tiny one, and the polar bear is there with a little tiny bear, and you know that when that iceberg melts, why, they're just going to fall in the ocean and drown.
Yes. You know, that's an amazing thing, and one of the things that bothers me the most, because the science on this one is a settled issue. I mean, there is no doubt about it. We have the greatest polar bear populations of any time in recorded history. In fact, they're so great at this point that my biggest concern is that the populations may suffer a collapse because they've outstripped the food supply. But the fact is that we've had more polar bears than ever, and we've had this global warming going on now for 100 years. And ironically, too, the fact is that four times in the last 10,000 years, depending on how you want to equate time or history, in the last 10,000 years that they have recorded, it has been much, much, much warmer than it is right now, like a matter of 2 to 3 degrees warmer than it is right now. And the polar bears did fine. In fact, it's 24 times in the last 10,000 years that it's been warmer than it is right now, and the polar bears survived just fine. All these other species that they're claiming, crying that they were going to go extinct, did just fine during that period of time when you had rapid climate change. They will tell you, for instance, that the most rapid climate change has occurred in the last 50 years, when in fact the first 50 years of the 20th century, they were significantly fast, they were warming significantly faster than they were in the last 50 years of the 20th century. Not only that, but they were twice as fast about 140,000 years ago. There was an increase in temperature so fast, it was blistering in comparison to what we're experiencing right now. These people have no couth whatsoever. They have this data, the same as I do, and they still come out with these rash proclamations that this is that and that is this and so forth, when in fact it is 180 degrees. From what the truth really is.
In fact, there was a program, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, it took the place of 60 Minutes, and it was Scott Pelley, and he was down in Antarctica talking to a scientist there who said, you know, in about 20 years from now, the amount of greenhouse gases are going to double because of the CO2 in the air. And I'm sitting there thinking, how could that be? I mean, since most of the greenhouse gases are water and water vapor, how could they double? But it really didn't matter. The citizens out across America are watching that CBS documentary to warn us against the ravages of global warming. They believed it because this guy was a scientist, and CBS wouldn't lie to us, would they? And the answer is absolutely.
Yep, that's true. And ironically, even if it did double, or even if it tripled what it is right now, it would make very little difference on the actual temperature, and it would make a huge difference on our food production in the world. Even if it doubled, it has now been shown fairly conclusively by hundreds and hundreds of research studies that our food supply would increase by 25 to 50%, depending on what the crop is. 25 to 50%, and that's true for Africa and the poor countries as it is for the United States. Greenhouse or carbon dioxide, if you remember your high school education, is the very substance that plants need to produce food. They can't live without carbon dioxide. They would die as fast as we do without oxygen. And of course, they give off oxygen that we then breathe. It's a nice little cycle. But creation was, at one time, when...
Hold that thought, please, Michael. We have to bring out the station. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Michael Kaufman. And, of course, we invited him to come on because he's got a great DVD, which we do carry on global warming. And I think it's the best weapon we have to dispel this lie, which is being propagated by the entire media and by the entire liberal establishment, by Al Gore, who drives an SUV himself and has a home that uses about 10 times as much electricity as the surrounding homes. But you see, he's an elitist, and he has a right to do that. It's just that they want to limit what you do. They're even talking about coming into homes. All new homes now are going to have thermostats that are controlled by the government, so they can control how hot it is or how cold it is in the houses. We're doing away. We outlawed the incandescent light bulb that's been around for 100 years, and now we're all going to have these new fluorescent light bulbs that are made in China, closed down our industry here. But what are we doing? We're saving electricity. Why? Because we're running out of electricity, and we're running out of water, and it's going to be too hot, and how are we going to possibly live with all of these new shortages? Next thing they're going to tell us, we're going to be running out of air. They keep telling us about pollution, and yet they've created the pollution at every turn so they can justify more control of our lives, because every problem facing America today can all be settled with a new set of government laws. Go ahead, Michael.
That is very true. And when you look at exactly what they're doing, everything that is done is designed to increase their control over you and I. They want to push the bureaucracy up to the international level where it is no longer accountable to the average citizen of the world, especially you and I. You will have decisions made for your life by people who care less whether you live or die. They have an agenda to grind out, and you are just the fodder that's going to be under that wheel as they implement what they want to do in the world as we see it right now. And I can't be more blunt at that. I'm really serious about how I feel about this, because I have seen, I've looked at so many of the United Nations documents, I've seen how it's structured. There is no accountability for these emerging bureaucracies at the international level to protect you and I. None. Absolutely none. And they will make decisions that will affect your life dramatically, and you have nothing to say about it.
And I think that's the most incredible thing that they're able to put this over. But then, after all, when you control the media, you can get people to believe whatever you want. You can get them to vote the way you want to. You can get them to respond emotionally. And, of course, they're using our schools today to train our children. Oh, my goodness, we're all going to die. We're running, we're going to have this tremendous hot spell. They're going to flood our cities. The oceans are going to rise 20 or 30 or 40 feet. And I've seen pictures in school textbooks where you see a picture of New York and the only thing sticking up above the water level is the Empire State Building. All the rest of it submerged. And you see enough of these pictures, pretty soon you come to believe it. It doesn't matter how ridiculous it is. If you say it often enough, everyone will believe. We'll go right ahead, Michael.
And the other thing that we need to realize, and this is another major misconception, two major misconceptions on Al Gore's video, The Inconvenient Truth. There are actually 36 significant errors. Actually, an English judge banned that movie in England without a qualifier, saying that it's purely a propaganda piece. He identified 9 that were very readable to see. One of them was the fact that Al Gore walks in front of this huge screen, 40 or 50-foot screen, that shows, first of all, 650,000 years worth of carbon dioxide, and of course it goes up and it goes down. And then he comes back the other direction, his temperatures are plotted on that same graph, except down below that graph, so that you actually can't compare it. And the temperatures happen to correlate quite well with the carbon dioxide. And he makes this statement, he says, well, any idiot, basically, he didn't say this in this way, but he basically said it's obvious that there is a correlation, a high correlation between the two. When the CO2 goes up, the temperature goes up. And he left it there, giving the idea, and of course the person is looking at these two graphs, you can actually see it, it's a high correlation. But correlations do not prove cause and effect, and I want to make that very clear. You should have gotten this in your high school chemistry and science too, is that correlations means that things change in a similar way. It doesn't mean that one causes the other. And the key here is that if you actually superimpose those graphs. And anybody that keeps graphs like that separate, the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change does the same things. They keep the two graphs separate, so you can't really see it. But if you superimpose it, what you will see is that temperature always precedes carbon dioxide, or either going up or going down.
In other words, what happens is that the temperature goes up, and of course it drives the carbon dioxide out of the ocean. I mean, you take a bottle of soda pop, you heat it, of course it'll explode. And that's what's happening. So you get the increased temperature, and then, of course, you drive the CO2 out of the ocean, and then you get a rise in CO2. But they're not telling you that. I wonder why. We'll be right back in just a moment. And this is Dr. Stan back here. And you know, Michael, it's one of the most amazing things. I'll have to admit I do a lot of reading on this subject. And it really wasn't until I talked to you and a few others that I came to the realization that the greatest source of carbon dioxide is not our automobiles or our factories. It's the ocean.
Yes, much so. Like, there's more, like 40 times more carbon dioxide in the oceans than there is in the atmosphere. And oceans act as a sink. When it gets cold, when the oceans cool down, they can absorb more carbon dioxide, and the carbon dioxide levels in the atmosphere decline. When the oceans warm up, as they are right now, because they've been warming for a long time, the actual carbon dioxide is released, and the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere goes up, just like you were saying before the break. So what we're seeing here is nothing more than a natural phenomenon that scientists have known for decades, if not hundreds of years. This is nothing new. And yet, you're never told that. You're never told that. It is amazing how much critical information, if you're going to make a valid judgment, is being left out of this discussion. And that's one of the reasons I really felt I had to do this DVD, is to help you understand the real science behind this and where they're outrageously distorting the science to make this agenda, to prove this agenda.
And, of course, this really is not science at all. It's simply people who are willing to sell out their principles because they get an advantage. If you work for the government, you better go along with the official party line. And the official party line, even though you hear the idea that the president, of course, is opposing it, but the official party line within the scientific community employed by the government is that global warming is a reality. And if you work for the government, if you work for a university, you better not challenge that, or they'll make your life miserable, and you'll never get another promotion. And of course,
that is very true. And one of the most things that has really discouraged me in this process, because they're spending. In fact, they will make the claim that we're something like $20 million have been sponsored by industry to disprove the man-caused global warming theory, and it's probably true. $20 million could be. And it sounds like a lot of money to you and I. But you know how much money the government and these environmental organizations and foundations have spent trying to convince us that man is causing global warming? Take a guess, Dan.
I have no idea.
You have no idea. Well, try $50 billion.
Well, I wouldn't be at all surprised. And, of course, what people really don't understand is that if you go into the origin of the environmental movement, it was really funded by many of our major oil companies. So on one hand, they put out $20 million. On the other hand, they put out $50 billion, and
yeah.
who do you think, of course, but they have to give the idea that we're against the oil companies, and they're trying to tell us it isn't real. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly one of the things that Dr. Kaufman brought out during the break was the fact that the largest source of carbon dioxide in the entire world is not automotive emissions, is not factory emissions, it's the oceans. That's where most of the CO2 is. And, of course, as you have global warming, why, it's like warming up a bottle of soda pop and it explodes. Well, of course, if you have warming, why, it forces the CO2 out of the oceans. When you have global cooling, the CO2 goes back in the ocean. Otherwise, of course, when it warms, why, the CO2 comes back. But you get the warming first, and then you get the rise of CO2. That's what Al Gore, who is not an honorable or honest man, that's what he didn't tell you. Well, before we go on, Michael, I'd like you to go ahead and get your website out there, because Dr. Kaufman has a great deal of information on many subjects referable to the environmental movement, and certainly was instrumental in preventing the wildlands legislation that was they wanted to pass back in the early 1990s, and certainly he was instrumental in blocking the acceptance of the Earth Charter in 2002 in Rio, at least by the American delegation. And even though it is certainly widely circulated, it has not been accepted by the United Nations as the new Ten Commandments of the world, as of course Gorbachev and Maurice Strong and Stephen Rockefeller had hoped. But let's go ahead and get your website out and how people can get in touch with your information.
Well, the website that you can get the DVD is warmingdvd.com. It's warming, just spelled like it sounds, DVD, all one word, .com. And we have a 5-minute trailer on that. You can see what the DVD is going to have on it. And I think you'll be quite pleased and impressed that we've done a very thorough job in covering this subject, both in the science standpoint and the political standpoint of what they're trying to do. And you can give us a call if you want to order it. You can use our 800 number, and it's 877-271-7639. That's 877-271-7639.
All right, fine. Now, if you're out there in the listening audience and you'd like to give us a call, our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And then, of course, or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question for Dr. Kaufman, and, of course, the DVD we're talking about is on global warming. And certainly the title of the DVD is Global Warming or Global Governance, and we carry that as well. So you can get it from Dr. Kaufman or get it from us. We think it is so vitally important that you have the information and you can help us reach other people. And I think probably the most important thing is, you see, either what we're saying is true and the media is lying to us, or the media, of course, is right and we're lying to you. But we have to understand that it is the entire media. And, of course, what this really reflects is the media is controlled, the educational system is controlled, our universities are controlled, and they're programming people to believe a lie. But it doesn't matter how ridiculous it is. Say it often enough. Have the authorities like, I mean, a man of integrity like Al Gore, why, of course, an awful lot of good people will believe. And at least so far, we have not yet signed the Kyoto Protocol, but I fear that it's going to come about, and with that will be the end of the industrial capacity of this nation, and everything will be done, of course, to take away our ability to have air conditioning and to use electricity and to use electricity in manufacturing. It is an attack on the very structure of our society. Now,
you know, somebody in the listening audience can hear this and just be literally shocked and saying we're over-exaggerating and so forth. Well, there has been a number of Senate investigations, generally led by Senator Inhofe from Oklahoma, that has shown very clearly that what you're saying is true. It would be a crippling blow, literally crippling blow, to the standard of living of the United States, the economy and the standard of living in the United States. Even the dean, you know, and he just won Florida yesterday, dean in Connecticut, who's the senator from Connecticut?
Leahy, Patrick Leahy?
No, he's up in Vermont.
Is he Vermont? Okay.
Whatever.
Are you talking about? I'm not certain.
Yeah, whatever. The Democrat that turned independent, Lieberman.
All right, go ahead.
The Dean Lieberman bill to curb global or to curb greenhouse gases in the United States. A number of organizations who analyze these kinds of things, and of course the Senate itself did its own analysis, showed that it would cost trillions of dollars over a period of time, thousands of dollars per year per family. Over a period of time. It is a crippling effect, because what you see is that there is a one-to-one relationship between energy, our carbon dioxide emissions, and our standard of living. The more you reduce the carbon dioxide, the greater the hit on our standard of living, and it's almost a one-to-one ratio. We would have to reduce our, if we were to implement the Kyoto Protocol, for instance, we would have to reduce our energy consumption by up to 30%. 30%. That means 30% of all the energy that you use would have to be eliminated. Where are you going to make those cuts? Because right now, we have, sure, some technology can handle that. There's no question. But we've had 20 to 30 years of technological improvement already built into our society. And as a consequence, it's very unlikely that we're going to make many more gains unless something major technologically break, have a major technological breakthrough. It's not going to be a real big dent on the amount of carbon dioxide emissions, and therefore we're going to have to cut back on what causes that carbon dioxide emissions. That's driving your automobiles, having a big refrigerator, freezer, television, air conditioner, you name it, just as you were talking about a moment ago. It would have a huge, huge, huge impact. I don't want to be melodramatic, but I've got to be melodramatic just to get across to you how serious this really is.
And, of course, we'll have to just shut down our electric generating plants that either operate on natural gas because that produces CO2 or coal burning, or we just have to turn off the plant so we weren't producing electricity. But, of course, the incredible thing about this is the largest polluter in the world is China today. And, of course, they don't have to do this. In other words, this excludes China, so they don't have to make any cuts. It'll just be the United States. Europe won't have to make the cuts because so many of the countries over there have nuclear energy, which we developed. They're using our technology. But we can't have nuclear energy here. Of course, they won't allow that. Of course, the environmental movement won't allow it. And who financed the environmental movement? Why, of course, the great oil companies. And, of course, this, people can't understand this is all a put-on. It is an attack on America. Why would the great oil companies want to do this? Why, because they want to destroy the industrial capacity of America and, of course, transfer that to other countries throughout the world because the people in charge there have a different world view. And they hate America, they hate our sovereignty, they hate our freedom, and what they would like is, well, everybody live just like the Chinese do under the authoritarian heel of their ruling masters, which is why so many American corporations and American banks have moved to China and financed the industrial miracle over there so that they will become eventually the leading country in the world. And you say that's a crazy talk, but of course we are dealing with people who have a different worldview because they worship a different God. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, or maybe you disagree, maybe you think that global warming is real, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And certainly, what about the IPCC, the International Panel on Climate Control, came from the United Nations. Haven't they verified that global warming is related to man's activity?
Well, that's what they claim. They claimed in the last release, last February, that there's a 90% certainty that man is causing it. And yet, you know how they arrived at this? I wasn't even familiar with this until a couple months ago. If you actually look at the number of scientists that were involved in actually writing that report, there were 240, not 2,500, only 240. And the actual number of scientists that were in the review process was less than 50, and the ones that really had the final say in what was to be in it and not, there was 9.
And, of course, what happened was that after the responsible scientists had left, they wrote the report that had very little to do with what the scientists said. And so they were able to slant it wide, wide, to frighten the people into being willing to go along with this because it is an attack on the very survival of America. There really are people who hate America. What better way to destroy this country than to destroy our industrial base and destroy our ability to utilize energy? And you think it's cold now? Just wait till you not be able to have any heat in your house. Let's go to Ruth, who's calling. This is Ruth Ann in Pittsburgh. And again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Ruth Ann. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. I wanted to disagree a bit with your guest.
All right, go right ahead.
I'm not going to speak to the global warming issue, though I think I could, but I don't think anybody can disagree that there's not massive extinction waves going on all over the world on many, many species, and I think this is very important.
You're talking about animal species which are disappearing.
Correct.
All right, fine. We're talking about global warming, but certainly there's no question that some species are disappearing, as certainly we're
massively, and I think this goes hand in glove. And I think when somebody like Al Gore, I understand the political misuse of that platform, but I think they go hand in glove when you talk about global warming. I mean,
Okay, go ahead.
All the wildlife, most the bulk of the wildlife in the sea hugs the coast by 6 miles. Within that 6 mile region around all the coastal waters is most of your wildlife in the sea. I mean, it is a delicate system and needs consideration. And quite frankly, honestly, I'm a member of the DAR. I have massive roots that go back before the French and Indian War. I feel strongly for this country, but I have to say, all I've listened to in 7 years, and I've listened and studied intensely since 9/11, I come down with something else. I honestly think when we scream about the rights of people and they're doing this to people, people, I think, are massively overrated. And there's a lot of people who just aren't nice in this world. And
what's the solution there? Would it be population control?
I think it's more complicated than they say, or that...
Maybe what we really need, Ruth Ann, are better people, people who have a moral foundation. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. And honestly, I agree with everything that's said politically on this station. I do draw the line at the environmental issues. But
right.
I tell you, I don't have a great love for the masses. I live in Pittsburgh. It's a low-end kind of city. And let me tell you, even before I started getting politically savvy and studying history, intensely. I mean, I didn't have a great love for your average person. I think they leave a lot to be desired.
All right, fine. Well, I appreciate so much your calling, and I hope you'll keep listening, Ruth Ann. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, that was Ruth Ann calling from Pittsburgh and a regular listener. Our telephone number.
Let me address some of the extinction issues, because we have the experience over the last 150 to 200 years, a fairly significant amount of extinction, and I have done studies on this particular issue.
All right, go ahead.
But ironically, about the middle of the 20th century, that started to reverse itself. And I'm not saying that she's wrong in what she's saying. I think we need to be sensitive to that issue. However, the fact is that it has dropped, the amount of extinction, the rate of extinction has dropped dramatically in the last 50 to 60 years. That doesn't excuse us or reduce the need for being careful, but on the other hand, I'm getting ahead of myself and my tongue. On the other hand, the Endangered Species Act, as it presently exists today, is not designed to protect species. And this is an area that I'm an expert in. I'm an ecosystems ecologist, and I do a lot of this kind of work professionally. The Endangered Species Act is not designed to protect species. It's designed to gain control over land, period.
And, of course, in Rhodesia, which really had, they call it Zimbabwe, it had some of the finest game reserves in the whole world. They've killed off over 90% of the animals there. And where is the outcry from our environmentalists here,
yes,
about what's going on in Rhodesia? And there's not going to be anything, because, of course, it is headed by a Marxist government that was put in power by our State Department. And you're not supposed to understand that they... You know, they have mass starvation of the people there, 85% unemployment, 4 to 5 million people have fled from the country. They've killed 90% of the animals there. And where is Greenpeace? And where are the environmentalists when you really need them? Let's go here to Joe's calling from Fayetteville, Arkansas. Hi, Joe. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. And how are you, Dr.
Doing Stan? Fine, thank you.
Okay. What I wanted to say is... Here's the reason that I believe Al Gore and these other people promoting global warming. If they do believe that there is a real problem with too much carbon dioxide in there, they're not sincere about wanting to solve the problem. Because, okay, assuming that there really is a problem with too much carbon dioxide in the air, and I'm not sure that there is, I'm not convinced that there is by any means, but there was a very independent scientist in the 1980s named John Hambacher. He wrote a book called The Survival of Civilization. He thought that the increasing amounts of carbon dioxide in there would bring on another ice age. But what he did was he proposed the best solution to it. You know, does anybody ever come up with if it really is a problem? That's, he said, that what we should do is we should restore more trace mineral fertility to the soils all over around the world with rock dust and sea minerals and things like this. And this would cause a great increase in the fertility of the soil, increase in the biomass in the soil and in the plants growing on the soil. It would also make the world more beautiful. It would also make the food healthier and better tasting. And it would also make Earth, you know, much more lush and abundant and
but you see,
know,
the
better for life in every sort of way.
But, Joe, you see, the CO2 will do that. In fact, whenever you have CO2, you get increased lushness. We're almost out of time. We have one more caller, but thank you so very much for calling. And, of course, that was Joe calling from Fayetteville. But I really believe that the CO2 is not a problem. In fact, it could be one of the finest things that ever happened as far as increasing our ability to produce more in the way of food. But has that actually been shown, Michael?
Yes, it has, definitely. They have actually seen at least a minimum of a 9% increase in our food production of the world. And NASA has actually been able to measure a change in the greenness of Earth over the last 30 years as well. There's much greener now. They've actually got photographs. You can go on NASA and look at their site to show, because of the warmer temperatures and the much richer carbon dioxide, the Earth is greener now than it was. And ironically, with increasing carbon dioxide, plants actually absorb or can handle situations where you don't have enough micronutrients and so forth that the guest was just talking about a moment ago. The fact is that they actually improve the ability of the plant to absorb those elements that are out there that might be lacking, and they actually grow better, even in stronger pollution, where you have air pollution. I'm not advocating air pollution, understand that. Somebody accused me of that once, and that's not what I meant. What I'm saying is, if you have that, the plants will do better than they would have if you didn't have carbon dioxide. It's a miracle gas.
Now, what about the micronutrients that Jill was talking about? Is that a factor? Is that something that...
Yeah, it's very definitely a factor. But what happens with carbon dioxide is the plants, it doesn't have to be food plants, it could be trees or something, are actually able to better efficiently use those micronutrients than they could without the higher carbon dioxide. So they will actually do better. Certainly we need more nitrogen. I'm really getting tongue-tied. I'm going too fast. More micronutrients.
There's no rush at all. Don't you worry. All right, fine. Well, I guess this, of course, has been Dr. Michael Kaufman. An excellent sort of information. If you didn't get his website, you can go up on the Internet and Google in Dr. Michael Kaufman or Michael Kaufman. And certainly we have a number of things that Michael has created, his DVD on the New World Order and certainly on global warming. We think they're things that you need to get and study and understand. Well, we have 3 minutes to wrap up the program. We've got Vernon calling from Salinas. Hi, Vernon. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Dr. Stan. My question that I have for your guest is, me as an average citizen, I mean, what can I do to cure the global warming thing? I mean, I recycle. I try not to use X amount of gas to go on trips to nowhere land and everything. But what can each individual citizen do? Or is this thing too big for us?
Well, of course, the thing is that it is our contention that global warming has nothing to do with what you're doing. Certainly, it is increasing CO2, but this many times can be beneficial. Would you agree with that, Dr. Kaufman?
Yes, it can. You know, it makes sense to be conservative and to use what God has created wisely. I mean, that's good stewardship. And we don't want to be excessive in what we do. But the fact is that carbon dioxide is not a major gas. This agenda basically is politically driven, is not scientifically driven. And while it's always good to be a good steward, to go to the extent of actually reducing your standard of living to any significant amount, I think is not something that's really needed. If you want to do that, that's fine. Each person can make their own decision. But at the same time, there is no scientific reason to make you do that.
All right, fine. Anything else, Vernon? The thing is that we don't want to pollute. We don't want to throw things by the roadside. We certainly don't want to stand by while animals are being slaughtered or killed. But of course, certainly we can't have mountain lions living, down by the beach there, prowling from house to house. We can't have a grizzly bears, which is really what the environmentalists want. They want, of course, to bring back the wild animals and do away with people. And population control is a very important part of their whole agenda.
Is there anybody in political office that we can trust in?
How would you respond to that?
On this particular issue, Senator Inhofe from Oklahoma has been doing an unbelievable job in confronting this. I mean, he's a one-man show. Senator Shelby from Alabama is not bad on this issue. But for the most part, it's an issue that most senators and congressmen climb on the bandwagon. You know, we got to pass this legislation and so forth because it's politically correct. they'll get brownie points or voting points, if you want to put it that way, if they support some sort of climate change initiative. And it's very dangerous because of the fact that we could get some really bad legislation because the congressmen just don't care.
I mean,
they use it as a political gambit.
Vernon, we're out of time. God bless. Thanks for calling. And Dr. Kaufman, thank you so very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure, and we'll look forward perhaps to getting you on some of our other programs because this is an issue we just have to keep going over again and again.
Yes, by all means.
God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest this evening was Dr. Kaufman. We think that his DVD on global warming is very important, and you can get it by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. He has another DVD called The New World Order, which we certainly think is excellent. We actually, of course, carry here in our ministry the Sustainable Development Syllabus, my talks on sustainable development. This whole thing of global warming is part of that. In my Sustainable Development Syllabus, we actually have an essay that was written, a treatise that was written by Dr. Kaufman, as we examine how the environmental movement is being used for control. This is what it's all about, control of you and unborn generations. It's what the elite are using. Oh, the fear of environmentalism, just give us more power and we'll take care of it. And yet, on one hand, they create the problem. Of course, a lot of this is financed by the oil companies. And they create great oil spills. And they say, see, what we need are more government laws. And of course, they create the problem on one hand. And then they want to come up with a solution on the other. It's sort of like a sandwich. And you're in the middle between the two pieces of bread. And they have you're simply going to get devoured on this thing. They create the problem, they create the solution, and we're in the middle. Well, of course, we hope many of you want to get our Sustainable Development Syllabus and with the treatise there by Dr. Kaufman. But that also has the Global Biodiversity Assessment Program, the massive program to get you out of your car, to get you out of your homes, to limit the amount of water you can use every day to 10 gallons, to actually reduce the population of the world dramatically, probably by 90%. We have my Population Control Agenda monograph there. We have the Earth Charter. The syllabus goes right along with my talk on sustainable development, the road to world government. And then, of course, we have a video on, pardon me, we have a four-tape set on sustainable development. And we hope that you'll want to get this sort of thing. We do have Holly Swanson's excellent book, Set Up and Sold Out, going into the whole background of the environmental scam. And it is a scam. Now, it's not that there are not problems, but they are being very often produced by the very people we're talking about. For years, they did nothing about diesel emissions from trucks. And you see these big clouds of black smoke coming out of the trucks. And every time you complain, they'd say, well, that's not smog at all. You don't have to worry about that. And then to give you a definition of smog, what they did was intentionally allow the pollution of our highways by diesel fuel, and only when they had everything else under control and all the cars regulated and all the smog control did they actually go after the diesel emissions. You have to understand that this is very, very cleverly handled. Well, our telephone number here at Radio Liberty is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And we do hope that you'll give us a call. We hope that many of you will give serious consideration to becoming members of the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to reach out across America 5 hours every day and almost 60 outlets every week. We have a unique opportunity to educate people who are never going to get the truth, really, from the major media. And you have to understand that most, of course, the squabbling back and forth between the left and the right is all stage. It's all show business. It's Amos and Andy, Laurel and Hardy, Abbott and Costello, and the right hates the left, and the left hates the right. And yet, of course, if you look at the policies that they are pushing, they're all the same policies. They're all globalists. Well, every presidential candidate is a globalist except for Ron Paul. But they're all globalists. They're certainly all in favor of environmental controls. They're all in favor, certainly, of world trade. They're all in favor of the war and continuing the war. The great diversion, so that as our boys go overseas to fight for freedom, why, of course, we're losing our freedom here at home. So please understand that behind this are spiritual forces. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or seen my talk, Forbidden Secret, you need to get it. That's Brotherhood of Darkness or Forbidden Secret. They'll get you into the spiritual aspect of what's going on. And then please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers. But pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
News on the Information Radio Network. I'm Greg Moore. Attorney General Michael Mukasey is again refusing to say if a controversial interrogation technique is torture. More from correspondent Jerry Bodlander.
The Attorney General's confirmation was almost derailed by his refusal to say whether waterboarding is torture. At that time, he promised to review the matter. But much to the consternation of senators from both parties, Mukasey still isn't giving an opinion.
Given that waterboarding is not part of the current program and may never be added to the current program, I don't think it would be appropriate.